from the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas. It's the Bombastic Blogcast for Tuesday, December 31st, New Year's Eve, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Ask anybody, they'll tell you. What do you say we get things officially started with?
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. It says here, there's nothing wrong in having nothing to say. Unless you insist on saying it. No comment.
I request the cone of silence.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted history.
Oh, boy.
Gather around, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
That'll be good.
Some cool, some not so cool.
I hope it is.
Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Really?
You might be quizzed.
Yeah, like that's ever going to happen. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1879. Thomas Edison demonstrated incandescent lighting to the public for the first time in Menlo Park, New Jersey. Shortly after that, fathers all over the country were yelling at their kids to turn off the lights. And it was on this day in 1946, President Truman officially proclaimed the end of hostilities in World War II, even though it was really over back in September. See, the war isn't over until the president says it's over. That's how that works.
Now, who can argue with that?
This is it, my friend. The final day of the year 2024, which I guess I could typify as understandably an anxious year. But then again, isn't every election year an anxious year? I mean, every year that I've lived through in my life that was an election year, even midterm years, there's been a certain amount of anxiety present. Everybody's concerned about whether the election is going to be good for America or be good for your hometown. And, you know, such was the case this year. My God, what a horrendous presidency we've been under for the last 4 years. It almost defies description, doesn't it? A senile president who probably never once made an actual decision that affected the American people. He was just a puppet. And we spent the last 4 years trying to figure out who the puppet masters were. We were trying to kind of home in on who's the man or the woman or the group behind this presidential administration. And we pretty much figured it out. I mean, gee, almost from day one, I was blaming or zeroing my attention in on the Obamas. I mean, isn't that kind of logical? Because Joe Biden was the vice president under Obama, which even then I thought that was kind of a strange choice. The man who has said in his career so many racist things would be selected by the nation's first black president. Well, he was only half black. The nation's first half-black president to be our vice president? That made no sense to me at all. And yet, voters all over the country, so eager to see Barack Obama take the White House, voted for him. And it's almost as if all the racist things that Joe Biden said leading up to that point were just, oh, that's okay. That's just Joe. That's just Joe being Joe. I'm sorry, I don't buy that. So I never once really took the Obama presidency as something good. I took it seriously, but I never took it as something good for America, and I was right. All of Obama's critics, and they were everywhere. You didn't have to look under the carpet to find Obama critics. They were virtually everywhere, except, of course, in Hollywood. They were just a bunch of swooning, moony idiots. And they still are. And the damage that that man and his cartel have done to this country over the years, and are still doing it, is just unconscionable. So, you know, and understand, this isn't sour grapes. Okay, a little bit of it is sour grapes. But man, I'm a four-year veteran. I served in the armed forces for 4 years, back in a time when it was the least popular thing you could do was be a member of the armed forces during the Vietnam era. And I served the whole 4 years. And I did pretty well by it, believe it or not. But when I see entities like the Democrat Party behaving the way it has for the last 10, 12 years, to me, that's a red flag. That tells me that there is probably a lot of foreign influence in our government, even in the way we conduct our elections. You know, I'm sure by now you've gotten the picture that the Democrats are always pointing their fingers at us and accusing us of doing the things that they are doing on a daily basis. This whole Russia, Russia, Russia bullcrap. You know, that was born out of accusations they were making toward us to deflect attention away from them. They were the ones who were under foreign influence in the elections. We don't know that, at least through documentation, at this particular moment, but we will. Those truths will come out. And culturally, the damage that the Obamas did and continue to do under the Biden administration. All this woke BS. You know, and then Oprah comes along. Of course, she's always lapping up what the Democrats are doing. I have lost so much respect for Oprah. In fact, I have no respect for her at all. You know, she was led around by the nose by the Democrat Party. And she came up with that term, your truth. No, there's only one truth, and that's the truth. There's not your truth. There's not my truth. There's the truth. And people who aren't seeking out the truth, but rather seeking out their own truth, aren't being truthful. Not hard to understand. Well, they've been out of office for nearly 8 years, Barack and Michelle, and they continue to play an outsized role in Democratic Party politics. Now, Russell Bartlett, writing in WeLoveTrump.com, he's an independent. I don't know if he's a journalist, political analyst, certainly, and a good one, too. He says, most recently, Michelle Obama shared a holiday greeting video in which she attempted to speak for many Americans who were quick to inform her that they do not share her partisan bias. And it's tremendous. And of course, she didn't wish anybody Merry Christmas. It was Happy Holidays. And I found myself saying Merry Christmas again at the Walmart because the community in which I live is largely Trump territory. So you can get away with that. Not sure that I would attempt to do that in Houston. However, I have lived most of my life in Houston and left Houston in 2002 to live in Sugar Land, which is a bedroom community southwest of Houston. Beautiful place. Also, extremely diverse, just like Houston itself. In fact, the most diverse area in the country. And it's really funny. I could wish Merry Christmas to my Indian neighbors, and they would wish it right back to me. A good many of my Indian neighbors were decorating their houses for the holidays. So, anyhow, Michelle posted this video wishing her followers happy holidays and highlighting the work of the Obama Presidential Center as 2024 comes to a close. But critics noted with a lot of disapproval, my friend, that her video begins on a sour note. But then again, it's what I said in yesterday's blogcast. If you remember, I zeroed in on how Barack and Michelle never once had anything endearing to say about America. Never, not once during their 8 years did they have anything endearing to say about America or the American people. It was always anything that they had to say, any speeches they had to give, were of a narcissistic nature. So anyhow, quoting her, she says, Happy holidays, everyone. I know it's been a difficult few months for so many of us, and that folks are feeling a little bit anxious and uncertain. But even during these tough times, there are plenty of reasons to stay hopeful. And then she mentions programs operated by the Obama Foundation. Well, just what is the Obama Foundation? Hell, I'd like to know what the Clinton Foundation is. It appears to be a foundation that does nothing but collect money for the Clintons to live on. And I think that's the same thing of the Obama, or the Obama Foundation is concerned. So hundreds of Instagram users commented on Obama's video within hours after it went live. And many thanked her for the message and showed support for the Obama Foundation. Several supporters of President-elect Trump read into Obama's comments. And their takeaway was that she had Trump's victory in mind when she spoke about a difficult few months, and they made their objections known. For instance, one user replied, "Michelle, America is excited about what's to come. A new horizon and prosperity for the nation, 2025 to 2029. No anxiety here. Amen." And in a tweet from Fox News, they posted a picture of her and it said, "Sour note, the former First Lady's post faced a wave of online criticism after she reflected on a difficult few months, with many interpreting it as a jab at President-elect Trump's victory." And they would be right. I like this one. Another tweet from Don in Brookfield, Pewaukee. "I know where that is. That's just west of Milwaukee. Yeah, my dad used to take my older brother and me out on Pewaukee Lake to go fishing on Sunday mornings before church. That was a long, long time ago because I only lived the first 6 years of my life in that area. I lived in Wauwatosa, just west of Milwaukee. But nice area in the summer." And Don in Brookfield, Pewaukee posted, "Amazing how someone who lives a life in incredible glitterati with enormous fame and an immense unearned fortune can be so bitter about the country that provided her with all of it. No wonder they lost." True. I'm just sad that it took 8 years under the Obamas for us to wake up and realize who they really are and what they really are. Why are they so sour on America and the American dream? Let's see here. Paul Zipula tweeted, "Michelle Obama says happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas because she's a see you next Tuesday." She then promotes the racist and sexist programs she supports. "Michelle is the worst first lady the U.S. has ever had, even worse than Jill Biden." Yeah, you get no argument from me. Let's see here. Got some other tweets. "No one wants to hear how bad off Big Mike," that's a reference to Michelle. "No one wants to hear how bad off Big Mike is while she lavishes in her multiple multi-million dollar vacation homes. Bye." And that was posted by 1776 Teacher. Very good one. And someone else posted, Susie Hodge posted, "She hates President Trump. She's not hiding anything." Okay. So anyhow, along comes the Daily Mail. They also reported on Obama's comment and the criticism that followed. From the Daily Mail, they wrote, "But many thought her gloomy message to the internet was taking aim at Trump's landslide victory over Kamala Harris, in the presidential election just last month. And hundreds of viewers flooded the comments with their own opinions on what's in store for 2025. One commenter wrote, 24 more days and we're out of this nightmare and your husband that you and your husband created for the American people. Another agreed, adding, "What a joke. Trump can hopefully fix the mess your husband has gotten this country into." And let's see here. Oh, yeah, another one wrote, "It's not been difficult for most of us. Most of us voted for Trump. We're good." And, of course, that's a reference to her reference that she made at the last couple of months being difficult. Bull corn. It's going to be an interesting year, 2025. I mean, right now, we can only speculate as to how long it's going to take for improvements to come before we, feel it in the economy. But we started to feel it rather quickly in the economy during Trump's first term. I remember back after Ronald Reagan was elected, it took 2 years, a good solid 2 years and some change to really feel it in the economy. But by re-election time, it was really good. I'll never forget the re-election commercials for Ronald Reagan. It's morning in America again. And it was great. And of course, he won re-election by a landslide. Trump has a big job ahead of him. And he knows this. He has done nothing for the last 4 years but study and prepare to become president again. He has done it. Let's support him and let's let him do his job. I sometimes wonder if President Trump is thinking so far ahead of the rest of us that we just can't grasp it. Now, don't mistake that for me gushing over Donald Trump, because some of the things he says, some of the things he tweets, you kind of rub me the wrong way. And I've mentioned this before, but by and large, this man is terrific for the country. And I never expected the Washington Post to get on board with something that he has suggested, but this idea of his of buying Greenland apparently met the approval of Mark Thiessen over at the Washington Post. Now, Mark Thiessen, you may have seen him on the mainstream media from time to time. I don't very often agree with Mark Thiessen, but he says Trump's idea of buying Greenland is far from absurd. And then to illustrate his statement, he pulled up an old article from a publication called High North News, and this is from 2019. And the article is titled, Why President Trump's Idea of Buying Greenland is No Joke. See, this is no new idea for Trump. He proposed this years ago. So let me read the article to you. It's rather lengthy, but it's interesting. Really, it's interesting to hear what they're thinking about this. Again, this is from the publication High North News, and it says, President Trump's idea that the U.S. might buy Greenland may herald very difficult dilemmas for Denmark and Greenland indeed. It's far too early to dismiss the whole idea as just another Trump oddity. For more than a week, journalists and commentators across the world regarded U.S. President Donald Trump's remarks that he may consider buying Greenland, the world's largest island, almost as a laughing matter. Many elements in this spectacle fit the common picture of the president as a leader who doesn't forget his track record as a real estate broker, a president with limited patience, with conventions and a willingness to treat other nations with delicate disdain if he finds it in the interest of the United States. However, now it seems clear that the U.S. president may be dead serious. It's no longer possible to rule out that the idea of buying Greenland, including all its people and territory, may reflect a wish on the president's side to take responsibility for a hardened U.S. analysis of Russian and Chinese intentions in the Arctic. Again, let me remind you, this is from 2019. Goes on to say, the president's idea of buying Greenland, even if it seems unimaginable, matches in many ways a series of other signs, in particular from agencies and institutions involved with U.S. security, of a rapid increase in U.S. interests in Greenland. U.S. media have also, over the last days, uncovered how a significant number of strategists within the U.S. administration, either openly or under the cover of anonymity, are ready to support the idea. Then they quote Trump here. Denmark essentially owns it. We're very good allies with Denmark. We protect Denmark like we protect large portions of the world. So the concept came up, and I said, certainly I'd be interested. Okay, that was in reference to the prospect of buying Greenland. Now, to Denmark and Greenland, serious dilemmas could emerge if Donald Trump, supported by those who brought the idea to his attention, is indeed aiming to alter the delicate balance of power between these two nations and the U.S. in the Arctic. Since World War II, the division of power between Denmark, Greenland, and the U.S. in Greenland has been more or less clear. The U.S. takes care of Greenland's security and runs Thule Air Base in the far north of the island, primarily in order to protect the U.S. itself against adversaries on the other side of the Arctic Ocean. Denmark guards Greenland's outer borders, including those at sea, and handles Greenland's internal affairs in close cooperation with Greenland's own elected leaders, who are acting with increasing autonomy. So far, this arrangement has generally served to the satisfaction of all, including the USA. However, as the last days have shown, Donald Trump may now possibly want to change this intricate pattern. This may potentially challenge the fabric of the Danish kingdom, as well as fragile economic and social developments in Greenland. The whole episode may still, of course, all be forgotten in a few months. Nevertheless, to an increasing amount of observers here in Denmark, this now appears unlikely. President Trump confirmed on U.S. television on Sunday, August 18th. Again, we're talking about the year 2019, all right? President Trump confirmed on U.S. television on Sunday, August 18th, that he is considering buying Greenland. Denmark, they're quoting him here, Denmark essentially owns it. We're very good allies with Denmark. We protect Denmark like we protect large portions of the world. So the concept came up and I said, certainly I'd be interested. Strategically, it's interesting and we'd be interested, but we'll talk to them a little bit. It's not number one on the burner, I can tell you that. Well, a lot of things can be done, he said. Essentially, it's a large real estate deal. And then he indicated that a U.S. takeover might relieve Denmark of a financial burden, talking mostly about the annual grant with which Denmark supports Greenland. He says it's hurting Denmark very badly because they're losing almost $700 million a year carrying it. So they carry it at a great loss, and strategically for the U.S., it would be very nice, and we're all a big ally of Denmark. We protect Denmark, and we help Denmark, and we will. So, by coincidence, the Danish Prime Minister, Mette Frederiksen, was in Nuuk at the time, that's the capital, and her reaction indicated, well, how precarious the situation suddenly was. With only 5.5 million inhabitants, Denmark is a small country that can hardly afford even the smallest rift in its relations with the United States, which is its second most important trading partner and its most indispensable NATO partner and military ally for more than 7 decades. Now, on the other hand, there's no way the prime minister could accommodate even the basic premise of the president's suggestion that Greenland and its people, who are all Danish citizens, can be treated as a sellable commodity and survive as Prime Minister of Denmark. In an interview with the Danish Broadcasting Corporation, she dismissed the whole concept, saying this is an absurd discussion, and of course, Kim Kielsen, who was the Premier of Greenland, has made it clear that Greenland is not for sale, and the discussion stops there. The day after, however, at a press conference with Kim Kielsen in Nuuk, she already went to pains to tell Washington and everyone else how strongly Denmark remained committed to the preservation of good relations with the U.S. In particular, she made strenuous efforts to stress Denmark's strong commitment to continued security cooperation with the U.S. in Greenland. She foresaw even stronger strategic cooperation, and she remained open to any American wish to increase the U.S. military presence in Greenland in light of the changing security landscape in the Arctic. She said, as to the military presence, we have to follow developments. Well, at this stage, it must have been clear to most onlookers in Washington that Denmark remains ready to discuss any U.S. wish to increase its military presence in Greenland or to increase its own military efforts. Kim Kielsen, head of, and I cannot pronounce the name of this organization, Greenland's self-rule government, also acknowledged Greenland's growing significance to U.S. security. Now, the first U.S. bases in Greenland were established during World War II, and Greenland's leaders have no problem with the current U.S. military presence as long as it's followed by a respectful dialogue and as long as reasonable benefits like jobs, infrastructure, and so forth keep flowing Greenland's way. Well, that would kind of come along organically, don't you think? Then they went on to say, our desire for a more strategic and stronger cooperation with the U.S. on the Arctic is completely untouched. And that is from Mette Frederiksen, Danish Prime Minister, And basically, that means this is no longer a joke. So already back in 2019, they were thinking about this. And generally speaking, it appears that from the standpoint of Denmark, yeah, they're initially signaling some objection to it, but I think they're starting to see that this would certainly benefit them to the nth degree. So, anyhow, after that statement from Matt Fredriksen, no longer a joke, 2 days later on Twitter, Wednesday, August 21st, 2019, President Trump canceled a formal state visit to Denmark, which was scheduled for September 2nd and 3rd. And he wrote, Denmark is a very special country with incredible people, but based on Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen's comments that she would have no interest in discussing the purchase of Greenland, I'll be postponing our meeting scheduled in 2 weeks for another time. And then later he clarified that he'd taken offense also by Mette Frederiksen's usage of the word absurd, as Donald Trump would. Now, the cancellation was unprecedented. On the 2nd of September, President Trump was to be received by Queen Margrethe of Denmark, Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen, by leaders of industry, and by the Premier of Greenland, Kim Kielsen. But that was all canceled. Yeah, diplomatically didn't look good. So at this stage, it was no longer possible to remain certain that the president's thoughts of buying Greenland was a passing confusion. And again, the reaction of Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen illustrated the pressure the Danish government feels. Okay, there's a lot more to this, but I need to wrap things up a little bit. But right now, from the standpoint of 2024, going into 2025, because tomorrow, you know, it'll be the new year, currently, they're having some infrastructure problems on Greenland. Here's a little trivia for you. Do you know there's more ice in Greenland than there is in Iceland? It's true. My morning show partner on Country Legends in Houston called that to my attention one time, Chuck Akers. He says, yeah, there's more ice in Greenland than there is in Iceland. And there's more greenery in Iceland than there is in Greenland. Makes sense, I guess. Anyhow, they're having infrastructure problems over there. They're having rolling blackouts, not brownouts, blackouts, where it's not at all unusual for them to have to go without electricity for 10 hours. And this will go on for several days on end. And as it mentioned in this article that I just read to you, I didn't get to that part because I'm running out of time. But as they mentioned in this article, Donald Trump, they said Donald Trump would never allow that to happen. So I don't know. From this standpoint right now, it looks like that if we were to buy Greenland, that would only be beneficial to Greenland and, in a way, Denmark as well. To the Comedy Corner with Francis DiLorenzo.
I went into the airport, and it's a tiny little airport, and they had a pager lady. It was half the size of this room, people. A pager lady. I'm used to LAX. Like, if you have a phone call, they'll say, pick up the white courtesy phone for a message, please. That's all we ever get. But this lady, she had way too much time on her hands. And she was sharing all this information that I had never, you know, way more information than I really needed, because it's like paging Mr. Steve Burns, yeah, your wife calls. She needs you to pick up some milk on the way home. 2 minutes later, paging Mr. Billy Parks, yeah, Becky called. Boy, is she ticked. She said, if you want to find your stuff, it's at your mama's house, you cheating liar. Paging Kimberly Wald, congratulations, honey. Your test results were negative. Oh, so you know Kimberly was happy. I like being simple. simple sometimes. I like being simple. I think the world is getting so complex and so ridiculous. Like, simple things, are becoming complex. Like, I fly in and out of airports all the time, and everything is fancy now. Nobody has the restrooms. The restrooms are overboard. It's crazy, right? Everything's automated, right? You don't know what's automated, what's not. Do you ever do that? Do you ever walk up to a door and you stop because you think it's going to open, but it doesn't open, right? And then the bathrooms. I miss manual flushing. Anybody else? Manual flushing, because I was good at it, you know? I knew exactly when I was ready to flush. I knew, you know? But now I have to leave it to the control of the automated flushers. And I just wonder, like, ladies, am I the only one standing in the stall trying to seduce the sensor? Does anybody? Do you ever, like, catch yourself and you're trying to trick it? Like, come on. I'm done. Come on, my friends are waiting. They're waiting. It's crazy. It's either you can't get it to go or you get the premature flush. Have you had that? That's terrible, because you're sitting there and all of a sudden, woo! Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, I'm in France.
Happy New Year, my friend. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Thursday's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you'd be sure to take some time tomorrow just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?